But 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And the first verse reads, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah." And verse 4, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme is, take heed lest ye fall. Take heed lest ye fall. It's a common saying that the best of men are men at best. And nowhere is this more apparent than in the case of King Uzziah. Sin and pride stalk us to the end while we're in this world. Only when we're in heaven will we be free from these things. The death of Uzziah, when that took place, was something of an end of an era for Judah, because outwardly his reign had been one of prosperity. So when Isaiah saw the vision in Isaiah 6 verse 1, we read, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up." It was a pivotal, a significant year, the year that Uzziah died. Uzziah was king from 787 to 736 BC. That's 52 years. Jeroboam II was on the throne in the northern kingdom of Israel from 785 to 745. And there was peace between them. And with peace, that meant that trade and industry flourished in the land of Judah. The glory of the kingdom faded after Uzziah's death. So first of all then, Uzziah's great reign. Uzziah's great reign, verse 1 to 15. And in the first five verses, we have the devotion of Uzziah. The devotion of Uzziah. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And in the book of Kings, his life is given more briefly without reference to his fall into sin. So that overall, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And Zechariah is mentioned, possibly a grandson of the Zechariah mentioned in the days of Joash. But he was evidently a prophet, and he had a great influence upon Uzziah. And the Lord gave success. The Lord gave Uzziah success in everything he did. We can consider that. We can look next under this broad heading at Uzziah's military success in verses 6 to 8. Verses 6 to 8, "And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly." He won wars. He defeated the Philistines and the Arabians. But it was by God's help, verse 7. For except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. It wasn't just chance that Uzziah won these battles. His name was famous, verse 8, and the enemy paid tribute. And this is like something recalling the days, the days of glory when David reigned, and especially in Solomon's day, there's something of a recovery of that, an expansion, the defeat of the enemies, their tribute paid, and the fame of Uzziah. When you think of David defeating the enemy so that the Lord gave him peace round about, and then Solomon, the tribute paid to Solomon, and the fame of Solomon, here is something of a return of those days. These victories of the Lord's anointed all point forward to the great eternal victory of the Christ of God. Then notice Uzziah's building program, verse 9 and 10. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. He was not just a wartime leader. Some leaders do well in war, but they're not so good in times of peace. But Uzziah was good in peace as well as in war. He had many interests. He cultivated the ground and kept cattle. He loved agricultural work. And the Lord blessed in all these things. Then notice Uzziah as an organizer. As an organizer, verse 11 to verse 15. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jehiel the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. He organized the leaders and the whole army, and it seems that this is the first standing army in Israel or in Judah at this time. And he equipped them, verse 14, Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And he was even more famous. His name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. He equipped the army. There's nothing more demoralizing for an army than to be under-equipped. But he did equip them, and they were a well-organized army. And he was more famous than ever. Back in verse 2, it mentions that he rebuilt Elath. That was Judah's trading avenue, as it were, in the days of Solomon. So things were going wonderfully well. But then secondly, Uzziah's pride. And this is from verse 16 to the end, because the chapter breaks into two quite readily. The first 15 verses are the great blessings under Uzziah, and then verse 16 onwards, Uzziah's fall into pride. So look at Uzziah's pride. First of all, under this heading, he thought he could do anything. He thought he could do anything. Verse 16, and when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went to the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. When men prosper, especially in a public way, in a public office, as he did as king, there's the tendency to forget that they can't do just anything. He forgot that it is the Lord who blessed him, and that this was the same Lord who set the rules and the limits. The fact that he was a terrific king did not mean he could usurp the priest's office. Even kings were subject to the law of the Lord. Even kings had to remember their place. However mighty he became as a king, it didn't make him a priest. And sometimes men, when they achieve greatness in one field, they think that nothing is beyond them, that they can do just anything. Uzziah forgot his place. He forgot to depend upon the Lord. He was dependent upon the Lord for success, but he was also dependent on the Lord to know what to do. You remember back in Genesis 3 that that the temptation was, ye shall be as gods, knowing between good and evil. That the temptation was to strike out in independence of God and in the realm of knowledge, not to take God's word for it. And it's that same pride that's showing itself here. Uzziah thought he was so great that he didn't need to listen to God anymore. Notice the courage in the Lord's cause of the priests. Courage in the Lord's cause, verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honour from the Lord God. These men had the fear of the Lord. It wasn't just a job. They could have shrugged their shoulders and said, well, who cares, if the king wants to go in, that's all right. But Azariah and the other priests went in after him, because it wasn't just a job. They had a sense of horror at what Uzziah did. And they showed courage in withstanding the king. No small thing to do, to withstand the king, but they did it. And they stood up for the separation that God had appointed between the ceremonial worship and the kingship. So it was based on their respect and submission to the word of God. And they rebuked him in the Lord's name. And then look at Uzziah's wrath and God's wrath, verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Uzziah was wroth with the priests, but his was only the wrath of man. And his wrath was as nothing compared with the wrath of God. He was angry at faithfulness, even in the professing church. That can often be so, that those who are consistently faithful are regarded as a nuisance by those who are erring and ignoring the word of God. And when we are tempted to be afraid of the wrath of man, remember this: it was God's judgment that prevailed. He put Uzziah in his place. And God can still do that. Uzziah's wrath against the priests soon became irrelevant as they bundled him out of the house of the Lord. And long-term judgment, verse 20 and 21, in fact, to the end. And Azariah the chief and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. He was in a several house, or free house, as it has in the margin. He was in a house by himself, separate from the people. The Lord would have it known that he is not mocked, not even by Uzziah. And for the rest of his life, his leprosy was a testimony to the fact that God is not mocked. The leprosy showed that he had been pinpointed by God as unclean. And so he was separated not only from the usurping of the priest's office, but from the house of the Lord altogether. He lost what he had. He had access to the house of the Lord like others, but not into the offering of incense and the holy place. But as king, he had access to the people's, the part the people generally would go to. But he lost even that. The Lord marked him with this leprosy. And he had to have his own son, Jotham, as co-regent to actually implement everything, because he could not go among the people. As a leper, he was excluded. So he didn't just not get what he wanted, he lost what he already had. And he was buried, we're told, verse 23, so Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. He was buried in the king's burying ground. But the meaning seems to be He was buried in a field separately because of his leprosy, but still honoured with burial in the king's burial ground. And certainly he was greatly regarded for his 52-year reign. Well, the application is simple. First of all, beware of the first rising of pride. If only Uzziah had stopped. If only he had listened. If only he had spoken and heeded Azariah before he did this. But he didn't. He wouldn't listen to anyone. And he did what he wanted. He was the king, after all. Why should anybody tell him what to do? Well, the Lord, the King of Kings, had every right to tell him what to do. No doubt, he often thought, if only, when he was a leper, if only I'd stopped. His sin had consequence for the rest of his life. Secondly, never think we are above great sin. Never think we are above great sin. Don't think we're such seasoned Christians that we don't need to be on our guard against great and basic sin, because we do. The seeds of all known sins reside within us still, and that corruption will not be completely removed until we are in heaven. And we have good reason to ask the Lord, hold up my goings, that I may not slip out of thy paths. Thirdly, God can use sinful men. God can use sinful men. Uzziah was used of God to do great good. And it does, in a strange way, encourage us that whilst the potential for this gross sin was still there, even earlier on, there was still corruption in Uzziah, which came out at this time. God did use Uzziah. Of that, there is no doubt. Fourthly, we will never outgrow the commands of God. We will never outgrow the commands of God. We will never be beyond the admonition in this world of be not wise in your own conceits. Let him that standeth take heed, lest he fall. We're never beyond that. It's there in the word of God for our warning to the end of our days. No matter how experienced as Christians we may be, the warning is still there. Fifthly, we are reminded that perfection is in another world. Perfection is in another world. It's not here. In heaven, there'll be no sin. But the idea of perfection in this life is a dream. And we must battle with sin to the end. Only when we leave this world will we leave sin behind. That should stir us up to heavenly mindedness and to desire the glory to come. And then sixthly, Christ the Priest King. Christ the Priest King, these strands that were kept rigorously apart in the Old Testament of priesthood and kingship come together in Christ. Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes a stool whereon thy feet may stand. But then in the same psalm, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the typology of the Old Testament, God kept things separate until they were to come together in Christ. We've seen that many times, that there is typology that runs parallel. Christ is a priest. There were priests. Christ is a priest. There were offerings. Christ is an offering. But there were contrasts. The priest and the offering were separate, whereas Christ offered himself. That's just an example. And it's true of the priesthood and kingship that they were kept separate. And yet, in Christ, they're brought together, because he is the fulfillment of all the typology of the Old Testament. It all comes together in him. And so our great high priest appears at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And he is the Prince of the kings of the earth, the Lord of lords, and King of kings. How thankful we should be that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills all in his person and work, and that our King is also our priest and our prophet to teach us. He intercedes for us, he teaches us by his word and spirit, and he reigns over us as his work of grace carries on in our hearts. Amen.